Welcome back to church. Welcome back to our series titled The Connecting Church. Obviously, you know by now that we've been going through the book of Colossians, line by line, verse by verse, line by line, truth by truth, expositorily, exegetically, all those fancy terms. We're just looking at God's word to learn how to live life, right? That's what we're doing, and he's using the book of Colossians right now to help us with that so that we can be those people who are connecting with God and connecting with one another. You know, we can tell a lot about a person by what they're wearing. Don't look around the room. That's not the point right now. For instance, somebody wearing fatigues, like military fatigues, you look at that person and you're thinking, that person is serving in our armed forces, right? They're in the military. They're a soldier of some sort in our armed forces. So I want to do this before we continue. Let's just thank all of those who do serve in our armed forces. Thank you all so much. We're so blessed by you, willing to lay down your life for us. I had a picture actually for this, for all of these, but you're just going to have to picture it in your mind now. And I had a picture of Thomas and Shannon Puckett in their fatigues, in their military uniform. And I just thank God for them and for serving and all that they do and the sacrifices that they continue to make as Thomas continues to serve this nation. If you see somebody dressed in scrubs, then they have a stethoscope around their neck. Who is that? That's a doctor, right? Or an amazing nurse like my daughter-in-law, Jamie Jones, right? So we know kind of who they are. We know about them by what they're wearing. If you catch somebody wearing a brown uniform and they're delivering packages with a big Amazon smile on it, like a lot of them around Christmas time, who is that? That's a UPS guy, right? You know a lot about that person by what they're wearing. Now, if you run into somebody wearing an orange jumpsuit and some pink underwear, you might want to call 911. Right? They may be kind of associated with the Arizona prison system. Anyway, what we wear tells a lot about who we are. It just does. And our scripture today in Colossians 3 tells us that when we are born again in Christ, it's time to remove the old uniform that we've been wearing all of our lives and to put on the new uniform. The title of today's message: Connecting with our new uniform. By the way, if you have our Evident Life Church app, you don't have an issue without the screens being on today, because you can go to the app and have the notes right in front of you and all the scripture and everything. You can also turn to your Bibles. I know that's old school, but you can actually open up that paper Bible, get right over there to Colossians chapter 3, and we're rolling, right? Okay. Connecting with our new uniform. This is going to be part one of a two-part message this morning and then next week. Connecting with our new uniform. 2 weeks ago, I introduced the principle that before a new connection is made, there's often some disconnecting that needs to happen. Before the new connection, you got to disconnect. Remember, we talked about disconnecting from legalism, disconnecting from mysticism, disconnecting from asceticism, all these isms, these viruses that want to come in and rob us from the Christ alone, Jesus plus nothing life that we're blessed to live. Today, we're told that connecting with God demands disconnecting from sin. Come on, this is going to be a great message. We're going to go there. We're going to talk about sin today. S-I-N. We're going to talk about sin. Why? Because God's word talks about it. And we're going to talk about what God's word talks about it. We're not going to run away, pick or choose. We want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help us God, right? And so here we go, Colossians 3, verse 5, because before we're able to connect with our new uniform, we need to remove and destroy the old one. Or we could say that this process begins with killing the spider. Like, what are you talking about? Whoop, just change, you know, whoa, squirrel. Whoa. Right. No, point one, you're going to get it here in a moment. is all about killing the spider. If we're going to take off the old uniform, put on the new, we got to kill the spider first and foremost. But first, let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Apostle Paul's writing to the church. The Holy Spirit is speaking to his church today. And he's saying, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these sins, the wrath of God is coming. Now, Paul's writing to the church. Let's remember that. Right now, he's writing to the church. He's not writing to the world. He's writing to the church in Colossae. And he's saying to the church, put to death these sins, these things that are not of God and not for you. Let's talk about the spider, though, before we go forward, because it's bothering some people right now why I'm talking about killing the spider. All right? Several years ago, I shared a story here to the Evident Life Church family, a story that I found in one of the Our Daily Bread publications. And it goes like this. There was a man who often went forward at the end of church to the front, and he would kneel down and he would begin to pray. And his prayer went like this. He would say, Lord, take the cobwebs out of my life. All the mess, right? Lord, take the cobwebs out of my life. And he'd come up week in and week out, every single week. He'd come right up front here, right at the end as the pastor's closing, right to the front, right in front of the pastor. And he would cry out, Lord, take the cobwebs out of my life. Next week, Lord, take the cobwebs out of my life. Finally, one week, the pastor got down. He got next to that man, and I know this was a good pastor. He put his arm around that man and just let him know that he was there for him and he loved him. But then the pastor prayed this prayer. He said, Lord, kill the spider. The pastor's like, enough is enough. It's time to deal with the root issue. We got to kill the spider. See, we can go through our house, we can go through our lives, and we can get rid of the cobwebs. But if we don't get rid of the spider, the cobwebs are just going to keep showing up. They're going to keep coming back. And too often, Christians, they simply attempt to control sinful acts and attitudes as they follow Jesus. It's often called sin management. And that's not what God's Word tells us to be about. We're not supposed to be in the sin management business as born-again believers. Because until the old life is actually completely wiped out, exterminated, it will always come back. Like a virus, like a cancer, like a cobweb. So what do we need to do? We need to kill the spider. Kill the spider. Paul said it this way. Colossians 3:5, he said, put to death. Kill, right? Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Notice, though, God's Word doesn't say, just ignore what belongs to your sinful nature and it'll just go away. You said the prayer, you came forward, now just don't even worry about that other stuff and just kind of keep living your life and it'll all kind of sort itself out and work its way out in the end. No, Paul didn't say that. Paul just got done telling us our position in Christ Jesus. Remember last week? Connecting with our position in Christ Jesus. We're seated with Him. And He's at the right hand of the Father, the place of authority, the place of victory, the place of rulership. He just told us who we are, reminded us who we are. And then he tells us, so put to death that old stuff. Kill it. Exterminate it. Get rid of it. He doesn't say, pick it up, put it in a little storage box, and stick it on a shelf in your closet somewhere. No. He says to put it to death. Welcome to church. It's good to be here, isn't it? It's some heavy stuff. Let me assure you now, God loves you and He has a plan for your life. Okay? I know, that's what we want to hear. It is. It's what we want to hear. And it's true. God loves you, and he has a plan for your life. And his plan for your life is that the cobwebs would be gone, and that the spider would be dead, and that sin would no longer have any grip on your life, because who the Son sets free is free indeed. And it's for freedom that we've been set free, not for cobwebs that we've been set free. That's God's plan for your life. That's how much he loves you. And he has a plan for your life. It's called freedom. 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 Real freedom. Not ethereal, made-up freedom. Like, yeah, I'm free. Oh, I still get pulled into this, and this stuff still controls me and all that. But I'm free. What are you talking about? Who the Son sets free is free indeed. For real. And that's good news. And if that's not good news, I don't know what planet you're living on. I don't know who you're listening to, but freedom from these nasty things that have been controlling your life, that's why Christ came, to set us free for real. That's how much God loves us. Let's go back to our uniform analogy now. Our old uniform is our sinful way of thinking and living. It's our earthly nature. And Paul says that this earthly nature, that our old uniform, is accessorized. And I know some of you guys don't know what it means to be accessorized, right? All the women are like, oh yeah, we know. We love accessories, you know, put them on and all this stuff or whatever, you know. But guys, accessories, you know, to like an outfit, it's like all the bling, you know, putting on the bling. And so Paul is saying your old life, your old uniform, is accessorized by some pretty nasty things that you thought were awesome, but are really ugly. Are really ugly. Things like impurity, lust, evil desire, sexual immorality, and greed. You know, all these accessories on your old uniform that you've been wearing. And that's some nasty stuff. Those things are nasty. And we're not going to go into detail. I'm not going to unpack every one of those nasty accessories that stuck to our old uniform. I think they're pretty self-explanatory. Right? Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, greed, idolatry, all those things. It's nasty stuff, and it's nasty because it hurts us. It really does. Robs, kills, and destroys. It's nasty because it hurts others. Those kind of accessories, those kind of things in our lives, that hurts other people. And here's the deal. We can't just remove those accessories. Before I say that, though, let me just say this. Not only does it hurt us and it hurts others, but those accessories, those sins in our lives, they hurt the Lord. They hurt his heart. I mean, these accessories, those are physical forms of adultery and idolatry, right? But rest assured, they're also very spiritual forms of adultery and idolatry, too, with the Lord. They hurt our relationship with him. Just like sexual impurity is going to hurt your relationship with your spouse, oh, it hurts your relationship with your Heavenly Father also. So we got to deal with it, but we can't just remove some accessories and go, okay, I'll get rid of this one, and I'll go after, you know, getting rid of this one, and I'll put to death this one, but I'm not taking the old uniform completely off. We can't just remove a few accessories and then call it something new. Because it's really not something new. Instead, we have to take it off completely. We have to remove that old uniform completely and get rid of it. Not a stitch of it remaining on us. And the grace of God that brings salvation teaches us how to do that. Titus 2:11. God's grace, the same grace that justified you and rescued you from the pit of hell, is now teaching you and empowering you to remove every stitch of the old uniform so that it no longer affects who you are and how you live. That's good news, church. God's helping us do it. He's teaching us how to do it. Here's how Jesus put this whole message. We can look at it in Matthew 5:29-30. Jesus says, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. For it's better to lose one part of your body than your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, Cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. That's intense, right? You want to know something? Jesus said that same message twice. It's also recorded in Matthew 18. So it's pretty important. This whole message of putting to death and getting rid of the old uniform is a pretty important message that the Lord has for us. You might be listening to the message of Jesus and going, say what? Is he telling me to be involved in self-mutilation? No, he's not. So don't go there. And I just want to clearly say, don't gouge your eye out and don't cut your hand off, okay? I went to church today and, you know, I've been looking at stuff I shouldn't, so the pastor said, just gouge my eye out. That's what Jesus wants me to know. No, don't do that, okay? Jesus is, he's wanting your heart. He doesn't want your eye gouged out or your hand cut off. He wants your heart, and he's using this very, very clear picture to show you how important your heart is to be fully given to him and for that sin and that old nature to be cut out of your heart and for you to live purely and holy and beautifully for him right now. So we got that clear. Everybody's clear, right? Nobody's going to go home and do something crazy now, right? Other than follow Jesus. That's the crazy stuff we're going to do, right? Amen. He's using shock and awe, though, because this is important. He's making a serious point. He's waking us up to the fact that this stuff really will destroy us. And we need to cast it off. And we need to discard it. Paul just told us in Colossians 3, verse 6, to kill the spider, he said, put to death this sexual sin. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. And he's talking to the church. Because of these ongoing, unrepentant, unwillingness to put to death that old nature, he says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. So this is no joke, but it's still good news. It's really good news. Because connecting with our new uniform also necessitates losing the attitude. Losing the attitude. So first of all, we got to be about killing the spider, putting it to death, right? But we also got to lose the attitude, church. We got to lose it. Verse 7, Paul says, you used to, past tense, because he's talking to the church. He's talking to believers, born-again believers. He said, you used to walk in these ways, the sexual immorality and everything that he's saying to put to death. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, past tense, the uniform you used to wear, past tense, right? He's saying, but now, verse 8, but now, say but now. Thank you, because I think that's very important. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. So you put to death all that sexual sin and that greed and that lust and that kind of idolatry. Now let's move forward into the next phase of this process of God making us new, and that's ridding ourselves of all such things as anger, rage, and malice, and slander, filthy language coming from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices. Have y'all ever met somebody with an attitude? Have you ever met somebody? Maybe you're the person with the attitude. You know what I'm saying? An attitude. Maybe you respond with frustration when things don't go your way. You got an attitude. An attitude. Anger. Rage. Maybe you find it easy to criticize one another. Did you hear what she said? Did you see what he did? You got an attitude. And it's not the attitude of Christ. It's the attitude of criticism. Maybe when your emotions are on edge and the proverbial milk is spilled, those four-letter words begin to slip out. You got an attitude, right? But I can't control it, Pastor. I can't control it. It just happens. Man, that's just how I'm wired. I've always been that way. I'm better than I used to be, but that's just still who I am. And so that stuff keeps coming out. What do you expect? That's just who I am. God didn't wire you for this kind of attitude. God didn't wire you. Sin did. Your fallen nature did. Your old uniform wired you to be somebody with this kind of attitude. Anger, rage, malice, slander, cussing, cursing, all that kind of stuff. Your old nature, sinful nature, oh, it wired you right up for that. And you might have been really good at it too. Might have been really good at it. But God didn't wire you that way. See, the reason that the Apostle Paul can tell us, the church, to take action and to put that old stuff to death and to rid ourselves of that attitude is because he's talking to new creations in Christ Jesus. Paul's talking to the church. He's talking to people that have been saved. He's talking to people that he just talked about last week. Well, it wasn't last week. It was a few verses earlier in his letter. He's talking to people that are sitting with Christ at the right hand of the Father in the places of power and authority, who can tell sin, that's not who I am. You are not bigger than Jesus. Be gone right now. He's talking to people that have all they need in Christ Jesus for life and godliness. Paul is talking to the church, to us, the Holy Spirit speaking to us today, and that's why he can tell us, put it to death. Rid yourselves of it. Because I didn't make you that way, and I've given you all you need to walk out of that and to walk into the plan and purpose I have for your life. Freedom. Freedom, freedom, freedom. Ephesians 1, 19 and 20, I think we read this last week, that we, the church, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. How many of you know that was a pretty big power, right? The same power that raised him from the dead, that conquered sin and death, is in the church. It's in us. That same power is in us. So, what do you mean that's how you're wired? That's how you were wired. But the grace of Christ Jesus has rewired you. And we just got to know that, and we got to walk in the new rewired self and put on that new uniform. Romans 6, 6, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ. Are you grateful for that? Crucified with Christ? Amen. We've been crucified with Christ so that what? So that sin might lose its power in our lives. We've been crucified with Christ. Sin has lost its power in our lives. And check this out. We are no longer, Romans 6, 6, we're no longer slaves to sin. No longer slaves to sin. See, that's the good news. That's why this whole passage of Scripture about putting to death that old sinful nature and ridding ourselves of the attitude, you know what I'm saying? That's why it's such good news, is because we can walk in this kind of freedom. We can walk in it. God gives us all we need now to rid ourselves. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has seized me except what's common to man. In other words, the kind of temptation I deal with is not some kind of supernatural temptation that nobody else in this room has ever dealt with before. In fact, let me tell you this. The temptation and the sin, the stuff that comes after you that wants to keep on you, is Christ himself has experienced that. It says he's been tempted in every way. How you been tempted? Christ himself has been tempted in every way, yet he's without sin. He didn't fall for the temptation. And knowing what that temptation feels like, he has given you all you need. He'll always provide a way out so that you can stand up in righteousness even under the attack of temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13. It's beautiful. It's powerful. It's a gift. It's his grace. It's what he has for his church. God always gives us the way out so that we can walk away from the angry response, so that we can walk away from being critical and gossiping. And we can walk away from that old nature of foul language. We can walk away. But we have to choose to take the way out. Amen. We just choose it, and he gives us what we need to walk out, to walk away from it. We can take off our old self. In fact, to not believe that this is possible is to cheapen the blood of Christ Jesus. To not believe that it's possible to put to death that old nature and those old habits is to not have a clear view of what Christ has really done for us, of what he did on the cross, of what the resurrection really means. He went all the way so that this sin and this temptation and this worldly stuff and the old nature and the old self and the world that keeps coming at us will not have any power over us anymore. And so we know that. And we're going to grab hold of what he's grabbed hold of for us. And what he grabbed hold of for us isn't a halfway salvation, isn't a mostly free reality. What he grabbed hold of for us is a whom the Son sets free is completely free kind of life. And so we know that he's given us what we need to walk in this. We got to remember, and that's found in 2 Peter, by the way, 1:3. That God's divine power has given us all we need for life and godliness. That's scripture. That's truth right there. That's a promise. Do you believe it? All right. Beloved, we can kill the spider and we can lose the attitude. Finally, connecting with our new uniform involves, number three, putting it on. So we kill it. We destroy it. Not a shred, not a thread left. And we lose that attitude, right? But then we got to put on the new uniform. We got to pick it up and actually put it on. Let's continue in verse 9. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices, taken it off, you've put on your new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. And here there's no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Let me just say, this uniform, this new uniform of freedom is for everyone who believes. That's what Paul is saying right there. It's not just for the Jew. It's not just for, you know, the pastor. No, it's for everyone who believes. Everyone who believes can put on that new uniform and walk now as a child of God completely free from this day forward. It's for everyone. Isn't God good? So look at this. He doesn't just help us get rid of the old, which, praise God, thank you, Lord, your grace gives us all we need to get rid of the old. He doesn't just help us take off the old uniform and get rid of the old and leave us like half naked. No, he gives us then a brand new uniform. Do you see that? He gives us a new uniform. He clothes us with a brand new uniform, a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness and despair. God gives us a new uniform to put on, and it's glorious. It's beautiful. It's heavenly. It's light. It's, oh man. It's awesome. The new uniform. Off with the old and on with the new. That's God's way. If anyone's in Christ, he's a what? A new creation. The old has what? It's gone. And the new has come. So the old uniform's off. The new uniform now is put on. And it's a glorious uniform given to us by Christ Jesus himself. The new is here. The new is here. Do you believe that? The new is here. Your new uniform. You have it. You can put it on. I ran across the following statement this week. It says, once we were wearing the devil, but now we are wearing Christ. Come on now. Come on now. Church, we're connecting with our new uniform. His name is Jesus. But check this out. Paul says this, and I'm about to conclude. Paul says that we have put on the new self, meaning the new self. If you've received Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've bowed your knee your whole life to him, your new self is here. You have the new uniform. It's been put on you. In other words, you've been justified. You've been born again. It's a done deal. We have put on the new self. But Paul also says this in that same passage. He says, but we are being renewed. So we put on the new self, but the new self is being renewed, meaning that this is a process that is still underway, that's still happening in our lives. We have the new self. We have the new uniform. But the process of the fullness of the new uniform, it's happening day in and day out, day in and day out. It's called sanctification. So we've been justified. We're being sanctified. And we will be glorified. That's God's beautiful plan for His church. So I just want to say something. I want to say, if your heart is for that sin to be put to death, and you're coming into agreement with that, and you're taking the actions that the Holy Spirit is telling you to take, and some of them may seem drastic, but you're taking those actions, but it's not completely gone yet, don't quit. And don't fall under condemnation, because you are being renewed. The process is happening. You are cooperating with the grace of Jesus in your life. And you know if you really are or not. But if you really are, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You're not walking by the flesh anymore. You're walking by the Spirit. And the Spirit of Christ Jesus is renewing you day by day by day. When I recommitted my life to the Lord and fell on my face and was bawling, I got to get rolling here, and I was bawling on my living room floor, He removed a sin, a besetting sin out of my life immediately. I mean, like 2 days, gone out of my life. The sin of anger, though, took years. Took years. But I was being renewed. See, it took years, but it happened. Continued to submit it to the Lord, knowing that God had it, knowing that He was giving me all I need to walk out of it. I was being renewed. And I was cooperating with that process of sanctification and of renewal. Cooperate, church. Cooperate. Because we are being, 2 Corinthians 3:18, we are being transformed. We are being transformed. It's happening. We are being transformed. Say, I'm being transformed. I'm being transformed into His likeness, Jesus' likeness, with ever-increasing glory, which doesn't come from ourselves and our own efforts, but comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Church, that's good news. We are being renewed. We're being transformed into His likeness. That's glorious. That's almost scandalous that He would take somebody like us wearing that old nasty uniform and He would transform us into His likeness. Beautiful. It's awesome. And God isn't finished with us yet. So we continue to cooperate, putting to death and ridding ourselves, killing the spider, losing the attitude, and being confident of this, that He who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. We're being renewed. We're being transformed into His likeness. And He's big enough, and He's strong enough, and He's faithful to complete that amazing process of salvation in our lives. So church, this is what we have to look forward to. It's good news. You know, we can talk about sin and we can get excited when God says, put it to death, rid yourselves of. We can get excited because see, we're looking at it from the perspective of freedom. We're looking at it from the perspective of God's grace. We're looking at it from the perspective of the plan that He has for us to no longer be controlled by it, and it's a beautiful, glorious thing. So let's thank the Lord for His ways. Let's thank Him right now. Let's thank the Lord for His word. Thank Him for truth. Let's thank God for His grace. Let's thank God for freedom, man. We don't have to, let's keep going. Let's thank Him for freedom. Let's thank God for the new uniform that He's given us and the grace He's given us to put it on every day. Day by day by day, walking in the new uniform.